The Divine Massage Parlor seemed like the answer to all my stress-induced problems. As a massage parlor blogger and enthusiast, I was always on the lookout for new places to review and experience. So when I stumbled upon the Divine Massage Parlor and read the glowing reviews, I knew I had to check it out. I remember being really excited on the day I decided to visit the parlor. And I rechecked my phone over and over to be sure that I got there at the right time. I parked my car outside the pretty-looking building, and I could already feel the curiosity bubbling within me. I even told myself that this is what happens when you go to a place with nothing less than 5-star reviews. I eventually made my way inside, eager to experience the relaxation and rejuvenation that the parlor had promised in the flyers. The interior of the Divine Massage Parlor was dimly lit, creating a soothing ambiance over the space. This was pretty common in massage parlors, but I enjoyed the calm that came with low lights in addition to the soft music they were playing. A friendly receptionist greeted me at the door and ushered me into a cozy waiting area. There were a few other people in there too, and I filled out the necessary paperwork and waited anxiously for my turn. I had already been to many massage parlors at this point, so I was familiar with the usual soft light and relaxing scents. But there was something about this one that seemed to stand out, and I couldn't figure out why. Eventually, my name was called, and I followed the receptionist down a narrow hallway. I had heard a lot of good things about this place, so I had very high hopes. But then again, I had also been disappointed in highly rated massage rooms before. With that being said, I decided to hold off my review until after the massage session. We soon stopped outside the door marked Massage Room 1, and the receptionist, whose name was Cindy, handed me a silk blindfold. I took it, not understanding what it was for, so I asked, and Cindy explained with a smile, saying, "The manager requires all clients to wear this during their massage. It enhances their experience and allows better relief and enjoyment. Everyone does it. And they all say it makes the experience better." I was so confused at first, as it was an odd rule, and I'd never seen this done before in other massage parlors. But I shrugged it off as some kind of part of the experience thing. I was also eager to see what awaited me on the other side of the blindfold, so I accepted. As the door closed behind me, I took a deep breath and secured the blindfold over my eyes before lying down on the massage beds. It took a while, but the moment the massage began, I was transported to a state of bliss. The hands working on my body felt magical, expertly kneading away all my tension and stress. And I wished that I could at least see and talk to the person who was massaging me. I usually liked talking to the masseur or the masseuse who was giving me the massage, as I felt that added to the experience. I often asked them questions about their day or their experience working there because it made me feel more comfortable. I also liked seeing the masseur when I spoke to them, but out of respect for the organization, I kept my blindfold on as I asked, "This feels wonderful. Did you study this somewhere? Or is this a born given talent?" Most people go to learn this, but I've met a few who claim that they were born with magical hands. The masseur didn't answer my question, and I thought he or she didn't hear me, so I asked again. However, nothing but silence answered me. It felt like I was just rambling on at that point, so I stopped inquiring and kept quiet. I thought the masseur was rude at first, but then I told myself that they might have been instructed not to communicate with the clients by their manager. It made sense to me, as there were already so many rules in the Divine Massage Parlor. And I wish that the manager or the receptionist would have told me that their policy didn't allow them to talk to the clients, as I would have understood and avoided the awkward situation. I didn't ask my masseur any more questions after that, and I lay there enjoying the soothing massage. But as the minutes passed, I could not just shake off the feeling something was off with this place. And it wasn't just the strict rules. The sensation of the hands on my back felt strange and a bit otherworldly. It was almost as if the masseur's hands didn't quite belong to a human. And I felt this way because I couldn't feel any fingers pressing into my muscles. Just a smooth, continuous pressure. I pushed aside my unease, blaming it on the relaxation-induced haze I was in. I even told myself that I was just overthinking it. But the curiosity gnawed at me like a persistent itch. And before I knew it, I was reaching up to remove the blindfold, as I wanted to find out the secret of the masseurs at the Divine Massage Parlor, even though it meant I would be banned for doing it. As the fabric fell away, I froze in horror at the sight before me. The masseuse standing over me was a pale, lean, and haggard figure, and his face was contorted into a grotesque grimace. But it wasn't even his appearance that made my blood run cold of his hands, as there was nothing but smooth, scarred flesh where his fingers should have been. That was when the horrific realization hit me like a ton of bricks, and I let out a gut-wrenching scream. The masseur's eyes widened in panic, and he stumbled backward, as he was not expecting me to uncover his secret. That was when I noticed there was a gag tied around his mouth, and he looked more like a captive than a masseur. A lot of thoughts ran through my mind as I struggled to make sense of everything I was seeing, but my first instinct was to run. I wasted no time fleeing from the massage room, my heart racing as I stumbled through the dimly lit hallway. I burst into the reception area, and I frantically explained what had happened to the receptionist Cindy, who seemed unaware of the horrors that were going on in the parlor. Cindy explained to me that she was new, and she was not allowed to see them either, but the manager had told her that she would be let into the parlor's secret soon, and she never imagined it would be this. I could tell she was horrified by the look on her face, and she immediately called the police and recounted what I had told to her with tears streaming down her face. The authorities arrived at the Divine Massage Parlor within minutes, and they surveyed the place before sending some officers in to scout the rooms. They then brought out a few men and women who all had stumps where their fingers should have been, and most of them were gagged up and in tears. An investigation was immediately carried out into the Divine Massage Parlor, and it wasn't long before the horrors came to light. It was revealed that the manager, a man named Mr. Galvin Dean, was a demented psychopath with a twisted obsession with massages. During his interrogation, Mr. Dean told the officers he believed his employees could only give the divine massage that his organization boasted of if their fingers have been cut off. This was a belief he had adopted after a supposed encounter with a fingerless masseuse in Thailand about 10 years ago. Mr. Dean claimed that the woman had cut off her fingers and sacrificed them to her gods in a ritual that allowed her to reach new heights as a masseuse and give mind-blowing massages. So in a sick attempt to recreate the sensation, Mr. Dean kidnapped helpless immigrant workers and subjected them to brutal amputations before placing them in his massage parlor to work for him. He also threatened them with deportation if they ever went to the authorities and gagged them so they couldn't speak to the clients for help. This was also why he implemented the mandatory blindfold rule and told clients that it elevated the experience. The many disturbing discoveries that were uncovered at the Divine Massage Parlor shocked the entire town. During his trial, Mr. Dean was declared insane and sentenced to spend the rest of his life in an insane asylum for his terrible crimes. A few people protested at the end of his trial, as they believed he deserved worse for the horrors he committed. But there was nothing they could do, as the judge had already passed the sentence. The experience left me scarred for life, as I'm still unable to shake off the memory of those fingerless hands pressing into my skin while I lay there, enjoying myself at the expense of those abused immigrants. However, despite the horror of it all, nothing compares to the massage I received that day. Now, I know what I'm about to say might sound bizarre, but while Mr. Gavin Dean might have been insane, he wasn't lying, as there was something truly divine about those particular massages. I tried to recreate the sensation by telling masseurs to massage me using only their fists rather than their fingers, but it wasn't the same. I often feel guilty for thinking about my visit to the massage parlor in a fond manner, but it truly was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. It's been a few years now since it happened, but I still think about it to this very day, because as messed up as it sounds, I sometimes wonder if I too would give up my fingers just so I could relive the otherworldly massage that I once experienced at the Divine Massage Parlor.
The first time I entered a massage parlor was when my wife booked an appointment for me at the local one. As a construction contractor, most of my work consists of physical labor. Even though I'm not a laborer, I don't mind picking up the hammer and getting behind the wheel if I'm short-staffed. While working on my latest project, I was constantly exhausted. I had pain in my back and shoulders, and as a result, I was constantly stressed and anxious. My sweet wife thought that a full-body massage might relax me and booked me a session. I had never had a massage before, let alone a full-body massage in a massage parlor, so I had no clue what to expect. Even though the massage parlor was pretty famous, it was a unisex massage parlor, and you never know if your massage therapist will be a woman or a man. I went in for my appointment, and the receptionist greeted me and took me to a room. The ambiance of the room was relaxing, and like any other massage room you could think of, soft music was being played. Scented candles were lit, and I was asked to strip and wrap a towel around my waist before the massage therapist arrived. I waited for a couple of minutes, and a woman in her mid-40s entered the room. I'm a 36-year-old man, and I admit getting a massage from a woman felt a bit awkward. But the woman was very sweet, and she made me feel comfortable right away. She laid me down on my stomach and began massaging my back. Instantly, the warm oil and the pressure of her hands felt good. And after some time, I didn't care that it was a woman massaging me, so I completely relaxed. She was slowly releasing the knots in my back and shoulders, and a pair of hands were working on my calves, too. Was there someone else in the room besides me and the massage therapist? I tried to turn about and look, but the therapist insisted I stay in the same position. When my back and calves were done, she asked me to turn around slowly and placed a warm towel on my eyes to relax. Again, I could feel two pairs of hands working on my body. One was the massage therapist, and the other, I don't know. However, the massage was so relaxing that I just didn't mind. Maybe she needed some help. An hour later, I walked out of the massage parlor, all relaxed and happy, with the next week's appointment with the same massage therapist. My wife was very happy to know that I was going in again next week, too. That night, as I slept beside my wife, I felt the same pair of hands massaging my back and my legs. I turned around to see if it was my wife, but she was snoring peacefully beside me. I thought maybe I was dreaming, and so I went back to sleep. Again, after I fell asleep, I felt the pair of hands on my body. I woke up, and there was no one around except me and my wife in the room. I covered myself with a duvet and went back to sleep. The next day, I told my wife about it, and she said that maybe I was dreaming. Also, whenever she goes for a massage, usually there's only one massage therapist present. For the next 5 nights, I felt the same pair of hands roaming my body. They started from my feet and slowly crept towards my chest and neck. But every time I felt the pressure of those hands on my abdomen or chest, I would wake up. My wife didn't believe me, but in the back of my mind, I had an uneasy feeling about it. The next night before my next massage appointment, I have a nightmare in which a black figure is sitting over my chest and trying to choke me. I know most of you will think I had sleep paralysis, but this was true. It wasn't sleep paralysis. As soon as I woke up, the figure got off of me and ran out of the room. I was so terrified, but I didn't wake my wife as I knew she wouldn't believe me. The only way to find out what was happening to me was by visiting the massage parlor again. The next day, as the receptionist was taking me to the massage room, I asked her if a second therapist had assisted in my massage. She looked at me funny and said that only one therapist attends to one client. Then who was massaging me last time, along with my massage therapist? This time, however, instead of a woman, I was assigned a male massage therapist. As we got to talking, and even though the massage was just as relaxing, I didn't feel another pair of hands massaging me this time. Thankfully, it was just me and my massage therapist, Kevin. Hey, Kevin, last time when I was here, a woman in her mid-40s was massaging me, and there was someone else along with her, too. But I couldn't see the second person. Could you tell me who she was, so I could thank both of them? I asked casually, so as not to raise suspicion, but the expressions on Kevin's face were enough for me to know something was very, very wrong. Is everything okay? I asked Kevin. The man looked around the room as I was getting dressed after my massage, and then he finally began talking. Looks like you were massaged by one of the ladies. There are 5 senior massage therapists here who have been with the massage center since it opened. Many of their clients have reported weird incidents happening to them after they had a massage from one of them. Let me guess. You felt someone touching you at night. Maybe something like sleep paralysis, but very real. Well, yes. How did you know about this? There has been a talk in the staff about these 5 ladies, but no one dares confront them. They usually take the wealthy clients or clients who come in later in the evening. No one knows what they do, but some staff members have spotted some voodoo items in their lockers. But still, nothing is confirmed. We suspect that they do some type of black magic on their clients and attach some kind of entity to them. Kevin stopped talking when the door to the massage room swung open, and a lady in her 50s looked inside. She asked Kevin if his session was done, as she needed the room for her client. Kevin just nodded and ushered me outside towards the reception. She was one of them, he whispered when we were out. Do you know what I can do to get rid of this presence? Try visiting a church. I drove straight towards a church. It must have been around 8 in the evening, and I was driving on the highway to get to the other part of town where the church was. At a certain point, I was the only one on the highway, and suddenly I spotted a dark figure appearing in front of my truck out of nowhere. I was speeding, and my truck swerved, and somehow I managed to control it from skidding into the other lane. When the truck came to a complete stop, I noticed a line of vehicles behind me who had stopped immediately, too. My heart was pounding, and I couldn't understand what was going on. This was the first time I'd actually seen the figure out of my bedroom. I started my truck and began driving again. When I parked my truck in the church's parking lot, I saw the same figure standing in the cemetery, which was just beside the church, and it was staring at me. By this time, I wasn't fazed by the figure and walked straight into the church, and a group of kids were practicing for choir. I spotted the father and walked up to him. He was lighting some candles, and at the moment he turned around, he smiled at me and said, "You saw it thrice, didn't you? Once in your bed last night, then on the highway, and now, just minutes ago in the parking lot." Stunned wasn't even the word to capture how I felt when the father said that. He went on and told me everything that had happened to me since I entered the massage parlor for the first time. "My child, those ladies hexed you. They put the spawn of the devil after you. But not to worry. God is all merciful, and he will help you." He filled a small glass bottle with holy water and picked up 2 unlit candles from the candle stand. Handing me both, he told me to go home and drink the holy water and light the candles for 2 consecutive nights beside my bed. He said,
"The light of Jesus will cast all evil away from your life. But remember, never visit that parlor again."
I did as he said, and knock on wood, I've not felt or seen the entity again. When I tell this story to anyone, they don't believe me. But I hope you guys believe me. I know evil entities exist in this world. But so does the power of God.
The following story I'm about to tell you may seem unbelievable. I understand that it may pass as just another internet story. I also understand that even though there were witnesses, not everyone believes me, nor do my family or friends. I admit that even though I question if what I experienced is real, but I know it is. It is as real as the marks on my skin will attest. It all happened at my old job. I used to have a massage parlor in my garage, and to tell you the truth, I really liked it. I always enjoyed being a masseuse, and obviously, I studied for it. I'm not going to lie to you. Every once in a while, I received some indecent proposal that honestly ruined my day. But luckily, it happened less and less, and once they got to know me, almost all my clients were regulars. Everything was going more than fine until one day. I got a surprise from one of the men who always came to me for massages. It was an ordinary Tuesday afternoon. Nothing made that day special. The weather was normal, not too hot nor too cold. Nothing had happened to me the day before, nor did I expect that day to be remarkable in any way. I simply got up, had breakfast, and went to work on a day when my agenda was composed of clients I already knew. The first few massages were normal, and I was getting ready for my next client, and that's when the nightmare began. Tim was always a normal man. He was a married man, and he never made any kind of proposition or innuendo to me. Tim had a small build. He was quite short and skinny, but I could tell he went to the gym from time to time. His personality was quite calm. He was a very polite, humble, and shy person. Needless to say, he also had a pretty low profile. I was getting ready to have a quiet session with him, but as soon as he walked in the door, I knew something was wrong. Tim was really very nervous. His face was red, and his relaxed posture was all tense, like he was really nervous about something. I greeted him politely, and he just gave me back a shy and forced smile. Something was happening to him. "Hey, Tim, sorry for the intrusion, but are you all right?"
"Hi, Barbara. Yes, of course. I'm just a little tense."
"Oh, I understand. Lie down. I'll do my best to make you better."
"Tough week. I'd appreciate it. These last few days have been very tense."
Once Tim lay down with his shirt off, I covered my mouth so I wouldn't scream from the shock of what I was seeing. His whole body was different. He had marks and cuts all over. But these were not marks from a fight, and he didn't look like he had been attacked. The marks were key points of his body. It was like his body had gotten bigger, and his skin couldn't take it. His skin was cut like a t-shirt that he had outgrown at some point. It was all very strange. But you know what? It wasn't the worst of it. What struck me most about his back was his hair. Tim was always a very neat person. He was one of those people who hated having hair on his body, from facial hair to hair on his back to hair on his legs. The only thing he was naturally accepting of were his eyebrows and the hair on his head. That's why I was so shocked by seeing him the way I saw him. His whole body. His whole body was full of hair. It was as if this man hadn't shaved for years. When was the last time I saw him? Last month? This didn't make any sense. Had he taken any medication that caused him to have an allergic reaction?
Is there something wrong with my body? What's taking you so long?
Oh, I'm sorry, Tim. I was just looking for the cream. I must admit that Tim's comment caught me totally off guard. He would never have spoken to me like that. Somewhat uncomfortable, I rubbed some cream on his back and started massaging him. Something was wrong with his back, and I don't mean the cuts or the farting. His back was moving on its own. I thought about telling him to stay still, but quickly realized that would not be possible. All these movements felt involuntary. It was as if something was happening to his back, as if it was changing.
No! Not now! Not again!
From one second to the next, Tim gave a great scream and began to move violently. Terrified, I just stepped back and dropped the cream. His body began to change rapidly. His muscles swelled, and Tim stopped to scratch violently all over his body. I didn't know how to react. I was alone in my house. Should I scream and alert the neighbors? Wouldn't that put me in even more danger? In the middle of everything that was happening, Tim looked at me with a lot of anger and walked slowly towards me, always scratching and with unpredictable and uncomfortable movements. Nervously, I grabbed a shovel and told him to back off. In response, he just pulled it out with one hand and threw it to the side. With some resistance, he grabbed my neck with his other hand and slowly began to squeeze me. I can't describe to you what I felt at that moment. I tried to resist. I tried to fight back. But this person was not the same shy man who always came to me for massages. Nothing I did, no struggle or attempt I made to escape, seemed to have any effect on him. Make no mistake, I couldn't breathe and I was choking. But I felt that rather than drown, I would surely break my neck. I could feel my life slipping away from me as the man focused on trying to kill me. And just as it started out of nowhere, it ended. Instead of continuing to squeeze me until I ran out of air or broke my neck, he simply threw me violently against the wall. Tim threw me with such force that it was a miracle I didn't hit my head against the wall because the damage would have been irreversible. Trying to recover from the blow, I looked up and saw my attacker more furious than ever. He wasn't even focused on me anymore. He was just running all over the garage, destroying everything in his path, screaming desperately as if he was an animal that had totally lost his mind. As he screamed, I could see Tim's body move on its own, to which the man only reacted by scratching, but with such force that I thought he would pull his skin off. It was easy to see that Tim, while visibly furious, was also in a great deal of pain. However, none of this made me question what was happening. No matter how much Tim was suffering, I was the victim, and he was the person attacking me. In the midst of his fit of rage, Tim concentrated on smashing the closet, totally ignoring the fact that I was standing next to him. I took advantage of this situation to slowly approach the huge garage door. Once there, I moved it slowly to open it. The door was very hard, and I could only open it a few centimeters, which served to let some natural light into the garage. Unfortunately, that light went right into the closet Tim was destroying, which alerted him immediately. Before I could finish opening the door and escape, I felt Tim's shadow behind me again. As soon as I turned around and faced him once more, he grabbed my face with both hands and without squeezing, gave a huge, terrifying battle cry with his face almost pressed against mine. was the most terrifying moment I have ever experienced in my life. Even worse than when he had flung me a few minutes before. His scream felt so loud, so violent, and so imposing that I felt it pierced my whole body and took away my will to continue trying to escape. After that scream, I fell to the ground sitting down, crying with my eyes wide open. Tim was preparing to attack me once more. But at the last moment, salvation came. The garage door kept opening. It wasn't opening by itself. Several people behind it were pushing it. They were my neighbors. They were trying to get me out of the house. At that moment, I realized that even though I had not screamed or warned them that I was in danger, they all knew what I did for a living and that I was always receiving people in my garage. Tim's loud and violent screams and all the noise generated by such destruction alerted my neighbors, and almost all of them came to see what was happening to me. Once they had managed to open the garage door, they dragged me out before the eyes of a Tim who, instead of attacking them, took the opportunity that the door was open to run out of the house in his underwear. All my neighbors came to my rescue and immediately took me to the hospital. I had been saved. I must tell you, that was the last day I saw Tim. Or at least, I think it was. From that day on, he never showed up or posted anything on social media again. His family never responded to my messages or tried to contact me. I never understood what happened to this man and how he went from having such a calm personality to whatever happened that afternoon. I must admit that in spite of everything, I always think about him and worry about him. Since that day, all the neighbors report seeing some kind of animal running through the neighborhood at night. I know this doesn't make sense, but sometimes I wonder, what if that monster is Tim?